Good evening. Welcome to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar. Great, great, great to be with you this evening. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And I want to say basically happy Mother's Day to our Mother Earth as well. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. So, talking about our global conversation where it comes to our Mother Earth and our super civilization. And first guest tonight is statistically talking about our population and how many of us are feeling mentally exhausted, feeling like we're overwhelmed with emails and websites and information and research and all of that. What it could do to our bodies and brains can basically start to slow and even shut down certain parts of our brain from the stress and fatigue that is caused from an exorbitant amount of information, which is basically what we're dealing with in this information age. And so my first guest tonight, Jim Quick, says that there's no such thing as a good or bad memory, just a trained or untrained one, and that your brain has incredible power and incredible potential. And we're going to talk about our brains with Jim Quick when we come back after this quick break. This is Lisa Gari, listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar. So statistically, the fastest growing segment of the total population is people over 60. It's the fastest growing segment. So many of those people are feeling mentally exhausted, and especially when it comes to overwhelm and overload with over information that's available to us now. And this causes stress. So what does stress do to the brain? It can cause the brain to start to slow, in some areas even shut down. Then you set fatigue in there and anxiety. It doesn't matter what the age, the brain starts to slow down. And with the worldwide statistic over, I think, 47 million now of people living with Alzheimer's and other dementias, we want to focus on our brains because if, and as my guest Jim Quick says, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that there's no such thing as a good or bad memory. It's just a trained or untrained memory. Jim is the CEO of Quick Learning and the co-founder of Superhero U. And he is also a mental coach. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And he's going to talk to us about how our memory has far more power than we even realize if we just use it. Welcome. Welcome to the show, Jim. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. This is a real pleasure, and welcome also to all the listeners and Coast Insiders.
Yeah. So tell me about your experience growing up. Were you always a really smart kid? Did you find that you excelled in certain areas of your life?
Actually, quite the contrary. I mean, if people ever see me on stage or on videos, they'll see me in front of a room full of an audience of people, and I'll memorize everyone's name or look at me random words or numbers, and I'll recite 100 of them backwards and forwards. But I always tell people I don't do this to impress you. I do this to more express to you what's really possible, because everyone who's listening to my voice now could actually do it themselves also as well. It's just we weren't taught. In fact, I think we were taught a lie that our potential or our intelligence, or our learning or our memory is fixed, like our shoe size, and that's absolutely not the case. So no matter what your age or background, whatever your diet or your gender, your IQ, I mean, everything can be improved.
What do you think about IQ? Do you think that it has relevance, that it's correct? I mean, what do you feel
I
about
mean,
that?
it was the number is something that I believe in. IQ tests for certain levels of areas of intelligence, and I latest research is finding that there's actually multiple intelligences out there. It's not just like SATs, verbal and mathematical. Now you have, interpersonal intelligence. You have kinesthetic or body intelligence, like athletes. You have musical intelligence. You have intrapersonal, self-to-self knowledge and stuff, and visual spatial intelligence. So I believe that there's a wide range of intelligences, and any of those areas could also, they're not fixed, they could be improved. And I know this just from personal experience. When I people think that I was born with these abilities, but it's something that's actually been fostered and trained. Because when I growing up, I had a childhood accident when I was 5 in kindergarten. I had some head trauma, and it left me with these learning challenges. I don't know if anyone can relate to just feeling like you're broken, but for years, it took me. I didn't have any focus. My memory was was shot. I didn't understand what teachers would teach me. In fact, it took me an extra 2 years just to learn how to read. And I struggled all through elementary school and middle school and junior high and high school. And I worked hard, but I still didn't get the grades. And when I got to college, I wanted to start fresh and, you know, and show the world and make my family proud and really prove to myself that I could succeed. But it actually got worse. You know, I took all these classes and I wasn't prepared.
Did you have pressure from your family or your peers to succeed or to perform?
I did. And I think, you know, just everyone has some kind of relatedness to it, right? That we, you know, we do things to be able to make certain people proud or show people mm-hmm. what's really possible. And for me, you know, my parents, you know, they're like many families, they worked really hard and they immigrated here and they had multiple jobs and they sacrificed a lot. And, you know, but for me, being the oldest in the family, the oldest child, you know, I really struggled and I didn't feel like I really fit in. And so in college, you know, I was ready to really quit because I really couldn't keep up because, you know, I would have to sacrifice the things that are good for my body and my brain in order just to study. You know, I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't sleep, I would just live in the library. And one day I actually passed out in the library and I fell down a flight of stairs and I hit my head again and
wow.
I had a bad concussion and I woke up 2 days later in the hospital and it was a scary time, you know, because I thought I had died.
Wow.
I woke up, I was down to 117 pounds, stressed out of my mind. I was hooked up to all these IVs and I just, you know, I just thought I checked out and maybe part of me kind of wished I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I it was a scary time and I just thought there has to be a better way. And when I had that thought, the nurse came in with some tea and on the mug, I didn't think anything of it at the time, but I saw this picture of Albert Einstein, you know, this little painting, you know, pretty smart, you know, genius mm-hmm. in his own right. And it had this quote that you've heard, everyone has heard this before in some iteration. It said, the same level of thinking that's created your problem won't solve your problem.
Mm-hmm.
The same level of thinking that's created your problem won't solve your problem. And it made me think a new question. And I think that, you know, questions are really the answer. You know, if you want a new answer in your life, you have to ask a new question. This was definitely one of those. And it made me think, what's my problem? And I thought, my problem really is, it's not that I wasn't working hard. It's just that I was a really slow learner. And I was thinking, well, how do I think about it differently? And I thought, well, maybe I could learn how to learn, you know. And I picked up a course bulletin to see what classes, you know, I could take. And I looked at all these classes, and there were all classes, Lisa, on what to learn. You know what I mean? There are classes on
yeah.
math, history, science, Spanish, all great classes on what to learn, but there were zero classes on how to learn, you know, how to think, how to solve problems, how to be creative, how to focus or concentrate, how to read faster, how to
organize your thoughts, even.
Exactly.
Yes.
How to have clarity and understanding and how to remember things. You know, I always thought that, you know, it should have been the fourth R back in school. You know, you remember the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. But what about recall? You know, Socrates says there is no learning without remembering. And so it put me on a different path. You know, I put my studies aside and I really started studying the act of studying.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I wanted to figure out this riddle, like how my brain worked so I could best work my brain. And I just started reading and studying anything I could get my hands on that had to do with brain science, adult learning theory, multiple intelligences, because I really wanted to understand how this, you know, 3-pound matter between my ears, you know, worked. Because they say we use, you know, Einstein said we use 10% of our brain. You know, later on it was Stanford University saying 2%. I read recently 1/10,000th of 1% that we have enough brain power to last us a million lifetimes. It keeps on going down. I don't know.
Wow.
The 70s had something to do with it.
That's discouraging.
But I think we use all our brain, but it's really how we use it that's different.
Isn't it interesting now with all of the brain research that's coming out, especially with the concussion that you've had too, realizing that those centers of the brain that you probably damaged had to do with memory mm-hmm. and recall and language and so forth. And anyone who's listening, who's ever had a bump on the head concussion, head trauma, and more than just bumping your head on the counter, I'm talking about like blacking out type of thing. There is significant research that's being done these days that it absolutely affects long and short-term memory, and you didn't even know you were dealing with that then.
Of course. I mean, and that's the thing with your brain. You know, when, you know, a lot of people don't have their brain scanned or look, you know, get an EEG. Your brain is the most amazing supercomputer on the planet. It controls everything in your life. It controls your relationships. It controls your health habits. It controls your career and your business. But it doesn't come with an owner's manual. It's not always user friendly. And so, you know, what we do with quick learning is I travel around the world and we have these online programs teaching people the best techniques on how to be able to access more of their potential in ways that are fun, natural, and simple to follow.
I love that. I love that. Hacking more of our potential because, I mean, I think it starts, first of all, with believing that you could do that, but then it's getting down to it because I, like you, didn't have that belief system built in, especially when it came to math. Now, so fast forward to now, you recently moved to LA and you met a certain group of people. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and how you've really helped improve memory of many, many different people?
Well, I mean, I'm really passionate about it. I really, you know, value this idea that everybody has this version of themselves that we know that's there. And I think that, you know, it's all possible for anybody that's willing to put in the effort. And so a couple of years ago, I had a speaking engagement here in Los Angeles for 20th Century Fox. And it was for the CEO and his executive board. And I was spending a half a day with them on a Friday, the morning session. And I was a little bit nervous, but when I got there, I became a kid again. And something about seeing the movie posters, Lisa, you know what I mean? Like, that's brought me back. So I saw Star Wars, and I saw Titanic, and I saw Avatar, some of the, you know, some of my favorite films, you know, 'cause I love the hero's journey, if you will, you know. And so it put me in this childlike state. And I think children are some of the fastest learners, you know, on the planet, you know, as we know. A child can learn languages faster than an adult. A child can learn musical instruments faster than an adult. And it put me in that childlike state. And maybe that contributed to like one of my best trainings ever. You know, I was able to double everyone's reading speed there. Their focus and concentration was so clear. You know, they had an amazing memory for what we were doing with names and faces and giving speeches without notes and foreign language learning and everything. And when I was done, the chairman walks me around the set. You know, the studio lot, and you know, just give me a little bit of a tour. And it was Friday. I thought that was a real treat. And I remember seeing this movie poster of Wolverine, and I'm a big Hugh Jackman fan. And I was like, wow, I can't wait for that new film to come out because it wasn't coming out for another couple of months. And the chairman picks up his phone, and then 5 minutes later, I find myself in a Fox theater with 3D glasses watching Hugh Jackman take on all these super ninjas. And I was just like, this perfect Friday afternoon. And afterwards, he comes to get me and he says, how was the movie? And I was like, this is really great. You know, it's better than the first. And I start to tell him my story. I start to tell him how I grew up with learning challenges and I taught myself how to read by reading comic books, you know, late at night when my parents thought I was sleeping. And I told him my favorite comic books growing up were the X-Men. And not because the X-Men were, you know, like Wolverine, not because they were so strong, but because they didn't fit in. And I really felt, Lisa, growing up with these learning challenges, I felt like I was broken and I didn't really fit in. And when you feel like you're broken and you don't have a lot of value, you don't connect with people maybe like you should. And so I'm telling him this story. And I mentioned to him the highlight of when I was a child. I remember reading that the X-Men, their school for their superheroes is with Professor X, was in Westchester, New York. And that's where I lived growing up. And so I was telling him every weekend I would get on my bicycle, ride around my neighborhood trying to find this school because I wanted to run away and go to that school because I wanted to find my friends and find my superpowers.
Your friendly mutants,
Exactly. I just felt
yes.
like I didn't have any superpowers that
Yeah.
they could help me. And I'm telling this to the chairman and CEO of Fox. And he's like, Jim, I didn't know you liked superheroes. How would you like to go to Comic-Con? And I'm thinking, like, Comic-Con, as you know, Lisa, is the largest
Yeah.
gatherings in San Diego for people who love superheroes. And in my mind, I'm 8 years old, but when he says, how would you like to go to Comic-Con, I automatically go and I become 88 years old, you know, in my mind. You know, I start thinking about, oh, the traffic getting to San Diego and all the lines and I have nothing to wear and I have all these meetings. looking at me wondering, he's like, Jim, do you want to go? I'm going tomorrow. I was like, oh, yeah, the chairman of Fox is going. I want to go with you. So he picks me up the next morning, 8 o'clock on Saturday, and we get on to the Fox jet, which is a real treat. And when we get on,
wow,
I couldn't believe it. Wow. I get on the plane, and it's the entire cast of X-Men.
Oh, my.
I mean, Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman. I mean, I'm sitting on the plane between Halle Berry and Jennifer Lawrence.
Wow.
And on the plane ride to San Diego. And I got to spend the entire day with them at Comic-Con, behind the scenes. And just, it was the most magnificent day.
Doing what? I mean, what did you do?
It was so wonderful because we get to see, media. Like, I get to be behind the scenes and see them do their interviews and cover photos, photography for, their magazines and everything. But the highlight was on the way back. On the way back, all the cast, we go back to L.A., and we land, and the chairman was like, how was your day? And I was like, oh, my goodness, this was the best day ever. Best day ever. And he's like, Jim, I have something else for you. I was like, no, I don't want anything else. Like, this is awesome. Thank you. He's like, the cast, they really loved you. And, how would you like to go on set with them? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, we have another month of filming X-Men Days of Future Past, which is the latest X-Men film. And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. I would totally want to do that. What can I do for you? He was like, oh, just teach them your stuff. Teach them how to speed read their scripts and memorize their lines and be focused and concentrated, on set. And I was like, oh, I could totally do that.
Wow.
And
wow.
So next morning, we're on the plane going from L.A. to Montreal. And I'm just brain training, the cast and crew there. And I have, for 5 hours and such.
Were you just freaking out? Like, what am I going to do?
It was very surreal, but it really became surreal when we landed. And I got to spend, the entire week with them, 12 hours a day on set. And I got to, besides eating with them and working out and sharing with them, it was also, I got to see, as a 7-year-old, I got to see my superheroes come to life right before my eyes.
And you, too. I mean, your superhero power came out with teaching them what it is that you know. I mean, that's pretty cool.
And you know what the highlight of the whole thing was, is when I had to leave, I go back to my home, and when I get there, there's a package waiting for me. And this package, maybe it looks like the size of a plasma TV, and it's wrapped. And I unwrap the package, and it's this frame photo of me and the entire cast of X-Men.
Oh, very cool.
And it's just like, I haven't changed my Facebook cover photo or my Twitter cover photo since then.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to. That's a pretty...
Just see it. But it's like me and the entire cast, I'm right there between Jennifer Lawrence and Hugh Jackman, two of my favorites. But more than that, there was a note in there from the chairman of Fox, and it said this. It said, Jim, thank you so much for sharing your superpowers with us. I know you've been looking for your superhero school. Here's your class photo.
Very cool.
It was just, and the lesson in that, for it is just, one of the things was, first of all, that childlike curiosity and that attitude, I really think that, age, I'm not talking chronological age, I'm talking about the age of our mind and our heart. If you want to learn faster, I think it helps to embrace, to know what we don't know and to be curious. Trade our cleverness for curiosity.
That childlike brain, yeah. When the child's brain is uncluttered, they just have whatever's in front of them to focus on at that time. And it was like you went back to that place where you were just totally focused. I think we can all remember a time where we were focused on one thing and really had that as our brightest memory.
It really is.
Everything else is quiet.
And I think we all have these superpowers with us. Like, in the age of information, if knowledge is power, I think learning is everyone's superpower. And that's really what I wanted to do, is I wanted to create this school, for everybody. So everybody has access to these superpowers for them. Because the villains, using this metaphor of a superhero, the villains right now is exactly what you talked about. It's the fast-paced world, technology.
Right.
The amount of information doubling at dizzying speed. It feels like if anyone listening could relate to it. It's like if you have books on your shelf you haven't read yet, or you have, you know, like journals and newspapers, things you want to process. But sometimes it feels like taking a sip of water out of a fire hose. You know, the villains here are an antiquated, you know, education system, you know, that hasn't changed in years and, you know, in decades, if you will.
We would think that that would help us, you know, by looking and reading and so forth, but we probably don't even realize that it's doing the opposite. It's overwhelming and causing more stress in the brain.
Yeah, and it's creating a lot of health, you know, challenges for people. We live in an age of jet planes and, you know, electric cars that are going, you know, electric cars and electric, you know, like, and spaceships that are going to Mars. But our vehicle choice when it comes to learning is like a horse and buggy.
Right, right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out what some of the techniques are that we can do to use our brains so that we don't lose our memories. We will be right back with Jim Kwik as my guest. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Jim Kwik. He is the CEO of Kwik Learning, and he's been talking about how we have multiple intelligences, which is really interesting because our traditional education system teaches us that we have one way of learning something. And Jim says that there are statistically several different ways of learning something. I want to find out more about that when we come back with Jim, and also how we can look at our brain as a supercomputer and hack into our own memory system in order to increase our memory. And that's one of the things Jim's going to be talking about with some of his favorite techniques that he taught the X-Men, but also that you can do and I can do, you know, on a daily basis of just things to kind of improve the power of our memory. But it's really looking at it in a different way. And that's what we always talk about on Coast. So we will be back with Jim Kwik after the break. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Garr. And my guest is Jim Kwik. He's the CEO of Kwik Learning. And you mentioned before, Jim, about multiple intelligences, like different ways that we learn. Can you mention what those are again?
Sure. I mean, there was a study done by Howard Gardner out of Harvard that says there's not just one intelligence or two intelligences like that are often tested for with standardized tests, like verbal, linguistic, you know, mathematical, that there's actually a whole array of intelligences that should be equally valued, and each of these areas can be actually improved. So, you know, you have intelligences like visual spatial. You have people who have incredible artists or they're architects, you know, that are just, you know, amazing painters, and that's definitely an intelligence. You have intelligence in the area of kinesthetic, you know, kinesthetic intelligence, or people are like athletes or ballerinas, you know, dancers, people who move their body at a high level of genius, if you will. But then there's also, you know, musical intelligence. You know, for Bach or Beethoven, you know, for the Beatles, if you will, you know, your favorite bands, that kind of intelligence. And then you have intelligence like interpersonal, you know, interpersonal intelligence, you know, people who are, you know, great interviewers, you know, people who are great communicators with, you know, other individuals, you know, they're maybe a great therapist or a coach, if you will. So all these wonderful intelligences. And the idea here, again, is that it's not so much how smart someone is, it's how are they smart. Do you know what I mean? It's like not, so we often we can look at our kids or something and say how smart they are, but really is how are they smart.
So what do you mean by that? How are you smart?
So it's like, if I ask somebody to like write their name, like if they could write their first and last name, you know, writing it down, write down a piece of paper, and then I ask them to switch hands and, you know, with the opposite hand right below it, their first and last name, you know, that second time is going to be, it's probably going to take longer. You know, the quality is not going to be quite as good, and it's probably going to feel a little uncomfortable. And I think that's like learning for a lot of people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, if you've ever been interested in a subject, but for some reason you're just not getting it, maybe, you know, it's like you're trying to learn it with the opposite hand, so it takes longer. The quality is not quite as good, and it feels uncomfortable. So maybe it's like the way you prefer to learn something is different than the teacher's preferred way of teaching it. So it's like you're two ships in the night, and you just pass each other, and there's no coherence, there's no learning or shared understanding.
Right. And then when you look at it, you think, oh, this is nowhere near where it needs to be. Forget it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think everybody has a certain level of genius inside of them. They just need to be shown how to really release it. And there's certain elements that help people to learn faster than others, you know, like than they would normally have. And one of those things, again, going back to school, you know, it was more of a, you know, the challenge, if everyone's stressed and overloaded, they have information anxiety, information fatigue syndrome, it's not their fault. It's, we all grew up with this 20th century education that prepared us for a 20th century world. You know, is cookie cutter, one size fits all, assembly line, you know, sit quietly by yourself. And it's a gross summary of it, but it's, you know, it's pretty accurate. It's that, you know, we live in, the world has changed so much since then, though.
Yes.
You know, with technology,
yes.
You know, with Moore's Law, with the amount of, you know, technology now, we, you know, the amount of information now is doubling, you know, with dizzying speeds.
It's so fast, yes.
How we learn it, how we read it, how we remember it, it's exactly the same. And that gap creates a lot of stress, information fatigue, anxiety, you know, higher blood pressure, compression of leisure time. You know, there's this epidemic of sleeplessness, you know, where people aren't getting it. And one of the reasons why, you know, as you open this, you know, this conversation up, is because, you know, technology, you know, our brains are like this, it's like a muscle. It's not a muscle, but it's use it or lose it. And a lot of us, because we're outsourcing our brains to our smart devices, like think about how many
right.
phone numbers did you know 20 years ago or 15 years
oh,
ago?
Oh, everyone's phone number. Yeah. Now everything's
100.
On speed dial.
And how many phone numbers do we know now? You know, maybe one or two.
Our own? Maybe.
And one of the reasons I think we're getting more and more forgetful, it's like, you know, absent-mindedness. You know, senior moments are coming a little bit early,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, you know, midlife pauses, whatever you like to call it. It's like we can't remember if we were in the shower, we can't remember if we shampooed our hair. You know, we can't.
Because we're always thinking about something else. Well, let me ask you about the education system again, because there are, you know, kids graduating from college now with going through, you know, they're getting graduate degrees in entire sectors that don't even exist any longer.
Right.
And
yeah.
then they're, you know, they're trying to find work, and then it's the technology sector that is looking for, it's probably the fastest growing segment out there in terms of the workforce, yet the least amount of people that are eligible for those positions.
I know exactly what you mean. I read recently, they said that the average person graduating school now will have about 10 to 12 different careers. I mean, not even full-time jobs, different careers in different industries, because the world is changing so rapidly.
Not even in their study. Interesting.
Exactly. And one of the challenges is, like, you know, the world we live in right now, everybody, you know, listening to this call, you know, we're paid primarily for our brain power. You know, it's not our brute strength, it's our brain strength. It's not our muscle power, it's our mind power. You know, and, you know, if knowledge is power, then, you know, then it's also not only power, it's profit. And I don't mean just financial profit, that's obvious. But I mean all the treasures in all our life, our health, our relationships. You know, ideas change the world. And so the challenge is, like, if we're outsourcing our brains to our smart devices, our brains don't get the exercise they would normally get. And so we have these flabby muscles. And so, you know, there's this new term that just came out this year. They call it digital dementia.
Ooh.
Digital dementia. It's like, because we're outsourcing our brains to our smartphones,
uh-huh.
our smartphones are in a way making us stupid.
In a way, though, I mean, I could look up a statistic on Alzheimer's and find it in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
And here's the thing, you know, I think it's good to know, you know, who wants to keep, you know, 100 phone numbers in their mind, you know, so it's convenient, but in a way it also cripples us, you know, when we can't do basic math, or we can't keep our schedules, you know, certain things that we need to do.
Right.
We misplace things all the time,
right.
Wallet or purse or cell phone. We can't remember someone's name. I mean, it's just, you know, and so these are all things that can be improved. And so the bad news, it takes a little bit of effort. But the good news, it doesn't take as much as people think. And this is not an age thing. Age only accounts, like biology only accounts for about a third of your potential, your genetics. But two-thirds is completely in your control. I mean, it's your lifestyle.
And you have some really cool techniques. Like, for example, memorizing 50 numbers on the spot. Well, you did that. You memorized 50 numbers on the spot. I have never seen anything like that, which is incredible. But you start off by memorizing lists. So can you give us an example of
sure.
one of the things you do?
I mean, so there's a lot of things, like, and so the good news is our brains could grow older, but they could grow better. So I'll give you a number of keys. I'll give you four keys really fast on how to learn anything faster, and then I'll give people three things that we're gonna can really boost your memory like right now. Because
Cool.
that's everything I like to do is it's just kind of quick results, and it's always KWIK. I tell people on Twitter to say QUICK. It's Jim Quick. Quick really is my last name, by the way.
It really is KWIK. Okay.
All right, so four brain hacks to learn anything faster, any subject or any skill. So if you want to learn Mandarin or Polish or human anatomy, or martial arts or whatever, four keys. And I want you to remember fast, FAST. People can write this down, FAST, and just really fast. The F stands, if you want to learn something new, a new subject, the F stands for forget. And that just means empty your cup. It means forget what you already know about a subject. Just like we were talking about, children being great learners. One of the reasons why they're great learners is they know they don't know. But sometimes if we feel like we know something, our cup is full and we can't put new information in there because
Clean
it's temporarily.
slates.
Forget it. And second thing you want to forget besides what you know about it, forget about situational things. According to science, we can only be consciously aware of 7 ± 2 bits of information. According to Harvard, a study done by George Miller out of Harvard, 7 - 2 is 5, 7 + 2 is 9. We can only be aware of 5 to 9 bits of information. And so what I'm saying is if 2 bits are thinking about, as you're listening to this show, if 2 bits are thinking about the kids and 3 bits are thinking about your work, that only leaves you about 1 or 2 bits to really be present and listen to hear. So forget about anything that's not urgent and important. And then the third thing I would say is to forget about your limitations. A lot of, I believe, beliefs play a big role in our learning. And a lot of people say to themselves, I have a horrible memory, or if I didn't write my grocery list in triplicates, I wouldn't remember it. And, those words that we say to ourselves, I remember preparing to run a marathon. I read a chapter of the book, it's The Psychology of Running Marathon, and said this verbatim. It said, your brain is a supercomputer, and your self-talk is a program that will run. So if you tell yourself you are not good with names, you will not remember the name of the next person you meet because you programmed your computer not to.
I see this happen all the time where there's a fear of not remembering, and the fear is what tanks the memory.
Exactly. And with public speaking, we work with a lot of, presenters that need to give speeches without notes. But, even just saying that you have a bad memory is going to hurt your memory because all behavior is belief-driven. And that's negative self-talk. We call it, Dr. Daniel Amen, a common friend of ours, mutual friend, called it, killing ants, killing automatic negative thoughts. Because here's the thing, those negative thoughts that you have, your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk. So be very wary of that. So that's the F is forget. The A in FAST stands for be active. One of the reasons why learning is such a challenge for a lot of people is, growing up in this traditional 20th century education, it taught us to be very passive. And traditional education was sit there and just listen and consume information. But in today's fast-paced information age, we have to be active. We can't just consume information. We have to create information. So active is all about, asking questions. Active is about taking notes. Active, I see a lot of people here on your, mentioning, asking questions on Twitter and asking me on Facebook. That's being active, making it conversational. Because learning is not, here's a tweetable if people are going to do it, learning is not a spectator sport. You have to get off the bench. You have to be active. The S in FAST stands for state. State. And the state is just a fancy word for the current mood of your mind and your body. Because here's the thing, when it comes to your memory, information tied to emotion becomes a long-term memory.
Okay.
Information tied to emotion becomes a long-term memory.
So you mean the more that you are excited or afraid or
More
funny or something?
feelings, exactly. The more
Okay.
feelings that you have when you learn, because most people, traditional education, they learned in a very bored state,
Rote way, yes,
and very rote, and
yes.
they were dull. And that's the excitement that they're connecting to the information. But the wonder why, like everyone knows that there's a learning curve. What people don't realize is there's a forgetting curve, that you could listen to something or read a book. How many people have ever read a page in a book, got to the end, and just forgot what they just read? Right? They say up to 80% of what you learn could be gone within 48 hours. And I think a big part of that
That's what we're taught in school. Absolutely. You're on to the next test and the next test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then once people take, they cram all night and they put it all in their head and they put it out on paper. And then once it's out, it's gone.
It's gone.
Right? And so the state you learn something in is the state you're going to store it. And it's the state you're equally going to be motivated to use it, to control your state, because you're in control of your state.
Because you learn better through experience, right? So that's what the emotion would do, would be to give you.
It does. And
Oh,
then
okay.
people think about, who's in control of the feelings. It's we are. And I remember, recently I got to introduce two of my superheroes together. I got to introduce Stan Lee, who created Spider-Man and X-Men and, the Avengers, to Richard Branson. And we were going out to dinner, and I asked Stan, like, who's your favorite superhero? And he says, Iron Man. And he asks, who's my favorite superhero? I say, Spider-Man. And he says, Jim, with great power comes great responsibility. Greg, we've all heard it. And I say, it's interesting, Stan. That's true. With great power comes great responsibility. And the opposite is also true. With great responsibility comes great power. When we take responsibility, we have great power to change things. And it's the difference between being a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer is something that reacts to the environment, right? But a thermostat, you set it a standard, and then the environment changes along with it. And I like to think everyone who's listening to this, you're a thermostat, right? Because that's what leaders do. So control your state because you are responsible.
So the reason why we don't remember things is because we don't think we can remember things. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, part of it is forgetting our limiting beliefs, and some of it's being more active with learning. And then the other part is controlling our state, with our posture and our breathing. Like a lot of people, they learn and they're collapsed and they have a poor posture and they collapse their diaphragm when they're reading, for example. But the lower one-third of your lungs absorbs two-thirds of the oxygen. And if people get tired or they get brain fog, or they have this decision fatigue, a lot of times they're just not getting enough air and oxygen. That's state. And then finally, the T in FAST stands for teach. Teach. And what do I mean by that? I mean that learn something as if you're going to teach it to someone else. Like if you had to listen to this
Right.
conversation and teach it to somebody tomorrow, a coworker, your spouse, your child, would you learn it differently? Would you focus differently? Would you take notes differently? Would you ask better questions? So teaching, the T in FAST stands for learn to teach, because when you teach something to somebody else, you get to learn it twice. And that's
So
really important.
when you're sifting through the internet and you're looking for, information or you're looking things up, you can basically start off with a clean slate in your head, do something active around it, and then memorize it with a state of emotion and then tell somebody else.
Completely.
Okay, I got that.
Those are fast, really fast brain hacks that you could do. And then there's three keys on top of it specific to memory. And so I would tell people on Mother's Day to remember mom, MOM. And these are, if you're ever forgetting something, usually one of these three letters, because they all stand for something, is missing. Or if you want to improve your memory, focus on these three things. Remember mom, MOM on Mother's Day.
Okay.
So the M stands for, well, let me ask you. Let's say somebody is really bad at remembering names, but let's say we have a suitcase here of $100,000 cash. It's for them or their favorite charity. If they just remember the name of the next stranger they meet, how many people are going to remember that person's name?
Everyone.
Everybody, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody's a memory expert. They don't use any techniques, but they're all a memory expert. So what was the key? The M stands for motivation.
Okay.
So
Okay.
part, and I remember doing this talk, and I had Bill Gates come up to me afterwards, and we're talking about the future of education and technology, but he says the key is understanding motivation. And so, like, for example, if you want to learn something and improve your memory or remember someone's name, ask yourself, why do I want to remember this person's name? Maybe it's to show the person respect. Maybe it's to practice these tips I learned, on Coast. Because if you can't come up with one reason, you're probably not going to remember the name. Because here's the tweetable. Reasons reap results. Reasons reap results. You need a reason why. So ask yourself why. The O in mom stands for observation. Observation. A lot of people, they blame their memory on their retention, but it's really attention.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, people have trouble remembering names. And it's not that you can't remember one or two words. It's a lot of times we're just not paying attention. Like, for example, I like to learn through role modeling. And I got to spend a good amount of time over the years with President Bill Clinton. And everyone knows him as, regardless of your, political bent, having charisma and a connector and a great communicator. What a lot of people don't know is he has an extraordinary memory, an extraordinary memory.
Really? No, I did not know that
And,
about him.
I'll see him, I
Yeah.
remember his name, remember being people close to me,
He
remember
does that
when he was on.
intentionally?
And this is the thing, and I asked him, President Clinton, what memory techniques do you use? And he says, Jim, I don't use any technique. And after probing, I noticed that he has this powerful, everyone knows him, he has this powerful presence.
Right.
You know, and I think his memory or his powerful presence comes from being powerfully present.
Oh, so the M, the final M is?
So the O is the O for this.
Observation, okay.
Observation. It's one of those things where if you're meeting someone for the first time, a lot of times, you know, that person, you know, you could be looking over their shoulder and seeing who else is there. If you're
right.
Distracting yourself outside.
Typical.
Distracting yourself inside, like you're talking to yourself. A lot of people, if you even take the word listen and scramble the letters, it spells the word silent.
Right? No
a lot
way.
Of people, a lot of people aren't even listening. They're thinking about how they're going to respond.
And I'm thinking about the fact that we only have a minute left.
And then finally, the M stands for mechanics.
Okay.
Last M and mom. And those are the tips, the techniques on how to remember numbers, how to remember languages, how to give speeches without notes, how to speed read. You know, but I just I put that last because if you don't have the motivation, the observation, the mechanics
right.
aren't going to help.
God, so much to cover in just a short amount of time. You can look up Jim's website at freereadingseminar.com where you can find out more of these techniques. You can also go to jimquick.com. Thank you so much, Jim. So much information in such a short amount of time.
Great bonus gift training for people at Free Reading Seminar. They can get all the memory and speed reading training as my gift for listening.
Ah, cool. Very cool. All right. Thanks, Jim. We will be back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.